Chapter 37. The words of Bentham, where he is the cause of the greatest danger to the smallest number. Apostrophe, these dropping shots from the blunderbusses of blunderheadedness might not have hit him in a vital place. But he had to stand against a trained and well-directed fire of arms of precision too. He had notoriously threatened the lost young man, and had, according to the showing of his own faithful friend and tutor who strove so hard for him, a cause of bitter animosity created by himself, and stated by himself, against that ill-starred fellow. He had armed himself with an offensive weapon for the fatal night, and he had gone off early in the morning, after making preparations for departure. He had been found with traces of blood on him. Truly, they might have been wholly caused as he represented, but they might not, also. On a search warrant being issued for the examination of his room, clothes, and so forth, it was discovered that he had destroyed all his papers and rearranged all his possessions on the very afternoon of the disappearance. The watch found at the weir was challenged by the jeweler as one he had wound and set for Edwin Drood at 2:20 on that same afternoon, and it had run down before being cast into the water, and it was the jeweler's positive opinion that it had never been rewound. This would justify the hypothesis that the watch was taken from him not long after he left Mr. Jasper's house at midnight, in company with the last person seen with him, and that it had been thrown away after being retained some hours. Why thrown away? If he had been murdered, and so artfully disfigured, or concealed, or both, as that the murderer hoped identification to be impossible, except from something that he wore, assuredly the murderer would seek to remove from the body the most lasting, the best known, and the most easily recognizable, things upon it. Those things would be the watch and shirt pin. As to his opportunities of casting them into the river, if he were the object of these suspicions, they were easy. For, he had been seen by many persons, wandering about on that side of the city, indeed on all sides of it, in a miserable, and seemingly half-distracted manner. As to the choice of the spot, obviously such criminating evidence had better take its chance of being found anywhere, rather than upon himself, or in his possession. Concerning the reconciliatory nature of the appointed meeting between the two young men, very little could be made of that in young Landless's favor, for it distinctly appeared that the meeting originated not with him, but with Mr. Crisparkle, and that it had been urged on by Mr. Crisparkle, and who could say how unwillingly, or in what ill-conditioned mood, his enforced pupil had gone to it. The more his case was looked into, the weaker it became in every point. Even the broad suggestion that the lost young man had absconded was rendered additionally improbable on the showing of the young lady from whom he had so lately parted. For, what did she say, with great earnestness and sorrow, when interrogated? That he had, expressly and enthusiastically, planned with her that he would await the arrival of her guardian, Mr. Grewgious. And yet, be it observed, he disappeared before that gentleman appeared. On the suspicions thus urged and supported, Neville was detained, and re-detained, and the search was pressed on every hand, and Jasper labored night and day. But nothing more was found. No discovery being made, which proved the lost man to be dead, it at length became necessary to release the person suspected of having made away with him. Neville was set at large. Then, a consequence ensued which Mr. Crisparkle had too well foreseen. Neville must leave the place, for the place shunned him, and cast him out. Even had it not been so, the dear old China shepherdess would have worried herself to death with fears for her son, and with general trepidation occasioned by their having such an inmate. Even had that not been so, the authority to which the minor canon deferred officially would have settled the point. Apostrophe Mr. Crisparkle, apostrophe quoth the dean, human justice may err, but it must act according to its lights. The days of taking sanctuary are past. This young man must not take sanctuary with us. Apostrophe, you mean, that he must leave my house, sir? Apostrophe, 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 Mr. Crisparkle, apostrophe, return the prudent dean. I claim no authority in your house. I merely confer with you, on the painful necessity you find yourself under, of depriving this young man of the great advantages of your counsel and instruction. Apostrophe, it is very lamentable, sir, apostrophe, Mr. Crisparkle represented. Very much so, apostrophe, the dean assented. And if it be a necessity, apostrophe, Mr. Crisparkle faltered. As you unfortunately find it to be, apostrophe, returned the dean. Mr. Crisparkle bowed submissively. It is hard to prejudge his case, sir, but I am sensible that apostrophe, just so, perfectly. As you say, Mr. Crisparkle, apostrophe, interposed the dean, nodding his head smoothly, there is nothing else to be done. No doubt, no doubt. There is no alternative, as your good sense has discovered. Apostrophe, I am entirely satisfied of his perfect innocence, sir, nevertheless. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the dean, in a more confidential tone, and slightly glancing around him, I would not say so, generally. Not generally. Enough of suspicion attaches to him to know, I think I would not say so, generally. Apostrophe, Mr. Crisparkle bowed again. It does not become us, perhaps, apostrophe, pursued the dean, to be partisans. Not partisans. We clergy keep our hearts warm and our heads cool, and we hold a judicious middle course. Apostrophe, I hope you do not object, sir, to my having stated in public, emphatically, that he will reappear here, whenever any new suspicion may be awakened, or any new circumstance may come to light in this extraordinary matter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not at all, apostrophe, returned the dean. And yet, do you know, I don't think, apostrophe, with a very nice and neat emphasis on those two words. I don't think I would state it emphatically. State it? Yes. But emphatically? No, I think not. In point of fact, Mr. Crisparkle, keeping our hearts warm and our heads cool, we clergy need do nothing emphatically. Apostrophe, so Minor Canon Roe knew Neville Landless no more. And he went whithersoever he would, or could, with a blight upon his name and fame. It was not until then that John Jasper silently resumed his place in the choir. Haggard and red-eyed, his hopes plainly had deserted him, his sanguine mood was gone, and all his worst misgivings had come back. A day or two afterwards, while unrobing, he took his diary from a pocket of his coat, turned the leaves, and with an impressive look, and without one spoken word, handed this entry to Mr. Crisparkle to read. My dear boy is murdered. The discovery of the watch and shirt pin convinces me that he was murdered that night, and that his jewelry was taken from him to prevent identification by its means. All the delusive hopes I had founded on his separation from his betrothed wife, I give to the winds. They perish before this fatal discovery. I now swear, and record the oath on this page, that I nevermore will discuss this mystery with any human creature until I hold the clue to it in my hand. That I never will relax in my secrecy or in my search. That I will fasten the crime of the murder of my dear dead boy upon the murderer. And that I devote myself to his destruction. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.